And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. What a mess we make. What a mess we make. Plus our common sense commentary, Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, if that's the direction I end up going. Also, not without his word, you don't. Ooh, what does that mean? And then today, fourth time in a row, today's Straight Talk.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. That's what my grandma would say. Actually, my mom said it first, and then my grandma. So actually, it would go, grandma, my mom would say it to me, and then my grandma would say it after my mom would say it. Oy vey, I can't keep up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking you, what do you think? Hey, give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic, by the way, is technically open for a conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
Democrats think they always have a right to govern, and if they lose an election, it's never their fault. That attitude was on display last week at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway got into a verbal altercation with Hillary Clinton communication director Jennifer Palmieri. Palmieri accused Conway and the Trump campaign of using racist tactics to win the blue-collar white votes in states like Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. She never explained how Trump won 7% more of the black vote than did Mitt Romney 4 years ago if the campaign was racist. Real racism is taking black people for granted and allowing the children of the poor among them to fester in failing public schools while the elites send their kids to private schools. The left never considers their ideas wrong, but the public has. Look at the map. This was a change election, and from all I can tell so far, Donald Trump is going to change things big time. The Democrats can cry racism all they want, but their time is up. They lost. Re-electing Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader, shows they still don't get it. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ. Tuesday, Tuesday's just as bad.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Let me tell you something that goes on that you might not be aware at the radio show, on the radio show, at the station per se. I recognize that some people are going to think, oh, this is a lack of preparation or something along those lines. I spend, and I think I've told people this quite a bit, about for every hour I'm on the air, I spend about 2 hours in prep and or review and or study and or even prayer to decide what does and doesn't go on the show. And so I've been doing this common sense commentary, and I'm just getting this, you know, I don't like the way it's going. I don't feel like I like the way it's going. You know, I hate to walk away from something in the middle of it because, you know, if you go through the whole thing, it's like, well, at least I went through the whole thing. But then going through the whole thing for the purpose of going through the whole thing seems kind of like not spiritual. It seems more human prideful than anything else. So I'm telling you right now, in regards to the common sense commentary, I'm bagging Galatians. So I'm just going to tell you that right now. There's a couple of things I wouldn't mind saying that have to do with chapter 4, but I'm just not getting that connect. You know how I'll do a segment for a while, we'll try it. Michigan News goes in and out, different things go in and out, and we can do those on a you know, per basis, per show basis. So I did the study for Galatians 4. There was just, you know, I had verses 18 through 16, and the only thing I really wanted to talk about was verse 16. So I'm just going to talk about that verse. And that's how it's going to be. And I'm going to pull out between now and the rest of Galatians any of the verses I like. And if I don't like it, I'm not going to teach it anymore. Because the idea is not just for, you know, I'm trying to do this for you in a sense, or for the audience, and for myself in a sense of whatever it is that the Lord sends our direction. But I've got to connect to it somehow. And I'm just not seeing that this is doing what I was kind of hoping or praying or thinking it would do. I probably picked the wrong book. But you know what? That's a part of the Christian walk, isn't it? You try something, it's like, well, that's not working. So then do you try it some more, and you try it some more. And I've been doing this now. How long have I been doing this? Since probably 2 months I've been doing the common sense growth. Just not making the connection. Just not happening. So I want to be honest about it. I want to be able to look at it and go, I don't think it's the right thing to keep doing, so I don't want to do it. But I do want to do this one verse. And that verse is Galatians. And so on this scripting, there's nothing to script. Just go with the flow. See where it comes up, Tugboat Todd. Which, by the way, doing a good job, Tugboat Todd. Thank you very much. Here we go, Galatians 4, specifically verse 16. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Paul is sitting there having an argument with people, in a sense, with people. Because at the church, the Galatian people were stuck between this legalism, which I'm really against. I'm a really anti-legalistic guy. I just, you know, I don't have this notion that people can use something beyond Scripture. I think that's absurdity. I think Scripture is your plumb line now and always. In fact, the church that I planted, the last church, it was Spirit-led, Bible-grounded was how we did it. And the reason is because it's okay to try. It's okay to do things. It's okay to witness. You know, everybody you witness to, they won't get saved. I mean, that's not how that works. But you should be willing to try and should be willing to share. And you never know what the Lord's going to do or how the Lord's going to use something. And so in this whole book of Galatians, the whole reason I want to do it is because there's this overall sense where Paul is trying to teach the church, you know, this legalism stuff, that you're trying to do things by the law, and in fact, this whole new covenant has been established through grace. You receive it by faith. It's given by the love of God, and you get all caught up in these rules and regulations, and you're kind of messing everything up. And Paul then, you know, is telling them, hey, this is, you know, really important that you get a handle on, that this is a new covenant, that it's a covenant that's given through the grace of God, it's received through faith, it's instituted by the work of Jesus Christ. And he's telling them all these things, and these are not always easy things to hear, because when somebody comes into your church life or your Christian life and says, brother, sister, this area right here, this is a mess the way you're thinking about this. This is wrong the way you're thinking about this. People tend to get defensive. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But when my wife says something to me that I think is, you know, like more challenging than I want it to be, I get defensive. I can't be the only Christian who does this. I just refuse to believe that. So today when I walked out of the house and I said, does this look good? Does this shirt look good? These pants look good? And she goes, yeah, it looks good. She goes, that shirt looks good on you. I said, I'm looking okay. I'm looking, thinner. I'm looking. Then she said, no, you gained a couple pounds over the holidays. Hey, guess what I didn't want to hear? Yeah, I gained a couple pounds over the holidays. Hey, when you have a birthday and you go through Thanksgiving and you don't want to hear, hey, I gained a couple pounds for the holidays. You know what? I know I gained a couple pounds for the holidays. I don't want anybody telling me. Sometimes I know what's right. I don't want people telling me. Sometimes I don't want to hear the truth because I already know the truth and I don't need them to reinforce the truth because I do need them to reinforce the truth, but I'm full of pride. Well, that's what's going on in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. He goes, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? So Paul is telling them, look, I'm telling you the way this is going. I'm telling you that the gospel is not going to be a works-oriented gospel, that it's not based on the law, that you're a child of God, through faith, and you're an heir of Abraham through faith, and this new covenant is essential for you to understand by faith, and it's given by grace, and the old covenant was there to teach us to get to the new covenant, and we need to kind of get on board. And then Paul's like, did I become your enemy because I told you the way it is? Oh, I told you the truth, and now I'm your enemy? And you know what? That is how a lot of people act. I mean, that's how I acted when it had to do with my weight, and it was my wife, and she's my best friend in the whole world. We got to be careful about that, don't we? You might be going, no, just you, Dave. You're the only vain person ever. Okay, thanks. My point is that when people tell you the truth, they're not your enemy. Now, they could tell you in a bad way. She didn't. I'm just saying they could. And I don't think Paul in his letter is being mean. He's like, look, you guys have to get it together. There's the purpose of the law. There's redemption through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm concerned, Paul said, that you're going to miss how faith and grace are key ingredients now. You're going to miss this. And he didn't want them to miss it. Because that would be a waste of the work that he was doing in them. Think about what's going on. He talks about the Council of Jerusalem, talks about confronting Peter. He talks about faith and belief. He talks about Abraham. He talks about the purpose of the law. He talks about faith in Christ. And then he expresses a fear and a concern that the Galatians are going to be so legalistic, they're going to miss it. I have many discussions with people. Well, if you don't go to, and they do this on television. If you don't go to church, you're not a Christian. It's not in the book. It's not, it doesn't say it that way in the book. You can't pull that off. And if that's the case, the guy on the cross who died next to Jesus, he's in hell because he never went to church. I mean, come on. You guys, we're better than that. In fact, the whole premise is coming up at the end of chapter 4 is the difference between Hagar and Sarah and the difference between a child of promise and a child that's more of law. And the big difference between the child of promise and the child of law is simply that the child of promise is the one to inherit. That's how it goes. But it does mention that the children who are of the law, the children who are of the flesh, the children that are of the natural, that they do persecute the children who are of the promise. That's another issue. The point is this. Do you become somebody's enemy by telling them the truth, or better stated, does somebody become your enemy because they tell you the truth? If you don't want to agree with something and you have a strong position to stand in, scripturally, that's fine. But just because somebody says something doesn't make them your enemy, especially if they're telling you the truth. I just think when she said that to me, I was offended because I'm a fleshly man who didn't want to hear that from my loving wife. But you know what? She didn't tell me to hurt me. She told me to help me. See, my filter? Didn't take it that way, did I? Yeah, I'm going to have to apologize. It should show you, though, people don't become our enemies because they tell us the truth. I think we're a little thin-skinned. People can't even joke anymore, right? I was going to get a bumper sticker that said, if you think The Three Amigos is a racist movie, you're a wackadoodle. I just think that's funny. It doesn't matter if you don't or not. I just think it is.
That's a long bumper sticker.
That's a long one, isn't it? Yeah, they have to have two bumper stickers, one right next to each other.
The one next to it should say, drive by slow so you can read my other bumper sticker.
Excellent point. I got to work on that. Nice comment, Tugboat Todd. Good job on that one. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Well, as I do what you do, find my way through.
From the San Diego studios of KPRZ, 1210 a.m., KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesmus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
After a visit to America, Edward, the British Duke of Windsor, remarked that what impressed him the most about America was the way parents obey their children. Well, we don't know what motivated the Duke's observation, but I wonder if he was thinking of the opposite standard found in Ephesians 6:1. Where we read, "Children, obey your parents." We live in an age of tolerance where everyone lives in fear of offending everyone else. Some parents even fear taking a leadership role in their children's lives for fear of offending them. But God expects parents to lead and love their children into adulthood, which includes obeying. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's plan for child rearing on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
This is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. There is no issue more laden with worldview significance than the issue of education. And the recent announcement of President-elect Donald Trump's appointment of Betsy DeVos to be the new Secretary of Education brings this to light. On one side of the aisle, the New York Times bemoans the appointment, implying very directly that there should be an unimpeded flow of taxpayer money to the public schools, where those monies should be spent and the schools should be run according to an elite of educators and especially according to the dictates of the teachers' unions. In contrast to what the New York Times sees as a great threat, the Wall Street Journal sees a significant sign of promise, the promise of genuine reform. DeVos is a longtime advocate of charter schools and vouchers and ought to make a big difference in her role as Secretary of Education. The battle is soon to begin. We wish her well. I'm Albert Moeller.
Protect your wealth with gold and silver from Roslyn Capital. Call 800-299-8200. 800-299-8200.
The David Spoon Experience continues on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Got a lot, man. I got a lot of work, educational work I got to do this week. Don't ask me. That's all I got for you. We're going to do a DDD that has to do with marriage. We are not going to get too far into LGBT theories. We're going to talk about marriage between a man and a woman, roles, positions, out of a First Peter section. I will state for the record, I am no expert in many of these realms. Okay, like I'm not an expert, like, you know, like you'll have a professional driver. Right, that person would be probably an expert in the realm. However, I have driven quite a bit for 40 years, so it's not like I come from nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's knowledge, and there's this acquired and experiential knowledge. And, you know, there's empirical evidence knowledge. There's different realms in the realm of knowledge. I would not say I'm an expert, but I can look at these passages and even recognizing where I'm not doing the things that I need to do, but can look at them and think, man, if we would follow some of this stuff the way that Scripture says it and where the words really mean it, instead of giving these words meanings that they're not intended, that would kind of help us in a lot of that. So actually the title of this, believe it or not, is What a Mess We Make. What a mess we make. And you're thinking, what do you mean, what a mess we make in marriage? Because, you know, Scripture's pretty clear about how that should be. It's like, yeah, but we're not doing what the Scripture part says. We're doing some of the other stuff, which seems a little bit strange to me. And I understand it. It's just a lot to process, a lot to grow in from. Here's the portion I'm talking about, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Again, the title, What a Mess We Make. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 says this, Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So let's start off this portion by just acknowledging that there are a large amount of men and women who have used this passages in battling moments in their marriage, inappropriately, I might add, but have used this and other passages to try and justify or unjustify different positions in different places in marriage. It's an interesting element. It didn't really used to happen back in the day, but, you know, with the wisdom of mankind advancing in worldly matters, we've grown a lot better at slimming down sin and just making it look slick. That's just a reality check that people don't like too bad. After all, when Adam and Eve grabbed from the tree, they grabbed from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which means what? That they continually grow in good and evil. If you want a witness to that, we've done delightful things in the knowledge of good, creating medicines and things that help people. And we've done even a better job at growing in the knowledge of evil, because you can kill somebody 9,000 different ways now compared to one or two back then. It just, that's all the witness you need in the world to go, oh, yeah, okay, that's right. We can send a rocket ship up into space, or we can implode an entire city so it doesn't exist. I think you get the idea, right?
Right.
In this conversation, Peter doesn't even spend a lot of time, doesn't need to spend a lot of time. He doesn't reiterate, rewrite. There's no rewriting here. He just, okay, likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands so that if they don't obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Okay, he's moving on to other things. Wives, it is a male and female ordination in Scripture. It's not a great complexity. But when it says subject to the husbands, herein lies where we get into a little bit of stickier situations, because somehow somebody has equated now and defined subjection as absolute obedience or just downright made for the man. She's a maid and she's the man's maid. She's got to do what the man wants. And that, of course, is not what it says. And it even defines what it says in the next verse. It gives the definition for what that subjection is. We're going to get to that in just a second. But what has become of it is men abusing their position of authority because they're weak and don't understand service as Christlikeness. The same scriptures that talk about the fact that a woman is subject to the man also say this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now watch this. What did Jesus do for the church? He died for the church. Oh. Okay, so, husbands, when you fulfill your portion, then you can talk about their portion. So as soon as you die for your wife, then you can talk. But until then, not so much. Wives, That's the next section in that same portion I just read. It says the wives must respect her husband. Do you know what a husband will do for you if you're a wife, if you show your husband respect? He will crawl through glass for you if you respect him. But if you tear him down, tell him he's a loser, complain all the time, and all those other things that are inappropriate, you're sucking the life out of your good marriage. Your fault. Husbands, if you do anything less than lay down your lives, your fault. Now look at the definition that Peter gives, because Peter was not as quote-unquote intellectual as the rest, and yet he seems to be able to nail this down in a heartbeat. He says, wives, be subject to your husbands, so that without, if they don't obey the word, they can without the word be won by the conduct of the wives. He's not necessarily talking about Christian husbands, or if he is, he's talking about not very good or obedient Christian husbands to the word. But look at the behavior Peter identifies. He says, when they see, here's how you win the husband without them responding to the word. This is how you be subject to your husbands. Here's the conduct. He tells you, verse 2, be respectful and pure. Those are the two definitions he gives and how a wife is to be subject to her husband. Respectful and pure. By the way, the word pure, wholesome and uncontaminated. And oh, uncontaminated by magazines that tell you it's all about you, baby. I mean, that kind of uncontamination. And oh, wait, here's something that's even wilder. You want to really get into the fun of it? I was talking about my wife to my wife about this weekend. Do you know where it says the word subject? That word also in the Greek means vulnerable. Now watch this, because this is a cool thing. Wives, be vulnerable to your husbands. What? And see, if the wife is vulnerable to the husband and the husband is the protector of the wife, then there's that give and take relationship where they're both functioning perfectly. But the husband has to function in a way that he gives up his life, and the wife has to respect the husband. And without those two things, you know what you get? The mess we have now. That's what you get. It's not overly complex. If you're a wife and you're listening to me and you're going on and on about how bad your husband is, your job is not to tell your husband how to be a husband. Your job is to respect your husband. And if you're a husband and you're going on and on about how your wife isn't doing her job, it doesn't tell the husband to tell the wife how to do her job. Your job is to lay down your life for your wife. Do your jobs. You don't have to worry about the other guy's job. You don't have to worry about the other gal's job. Do your job. Wives, respect husbands. Husbands, lay down your lives. It'd be such a nicer world if we did what the Lord told us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a short break and then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. Santa's making a list, but the question is, are you checking it twice? At holiday time or any time, you can find out how retailers and other companies stack up on gun rights, abortion, religious liberty, and more with Second Vote's new Christmas shopping guide. Since the holiday season makes up 30% of stores' revenue, make sure you know where your dollars are going. Quote, conservatives will be shocked to see who companies fund, said a Second Vote spokesman. But with this new shopping guide, you'll find the perfect gifts from top retailers that rate either neutral to conservative on the issues you care about. With Americans set to spend almost $800 billion on presents, Christians have a big opportunity to reward stores that support their beliefs. Check out SecondVote.com and don't just voice your values, shop them.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie, let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well! Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at excaliburroofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn!
Golly, Uncle Bob, if you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
After a visit to America, Edward, the British Duke of Windsor, remarked that what impressed him the most about America was the way parents obey their children. Well, we don't know what motivated the Duke's observation, but I wonder if he was thinking of the opposite standard found in Ephesians 6:1, where we read, "Children, obey your parents." We live in an age of tolerance where everyone lives in fear of offending everyone else. Some parents even fear taking a leadership role in their children's lives for fear of offending them. But God expects parents to lead and love their children into adulthood, which includes obeying. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's plan for child rearing on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I do want to remind you, since I haven't done it once this hour, that if you want to, you're welcome to send us an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Also, the David Spoon Experience on Facebook. Go to Facebook. Welcome to like it. Send a private message, whatever the case may be. Plus, hisappointment.com. I'm going to share just something real, like a little blessing. Yesterday, I woke up and checked my email, and a nice gentleman sent me a message. He had picked up the book and had listened to me for a while on the radio. So a big shout out to Damien for doing that. And he gave me a nice 5-star rating on the book, which is really nice because, you know, nobody asked him to do that. That was his own action. You know, my only concern is I think he read about halfway through. It's the second half of the book that's really tough. So let's see if the 5-star stays a 5-star kind of attitude. But I have been going through bits and pieces on the book and recognizing, you know, if even from my own point of view, there's some good things that I need to remind myself. And so it dawned on me, it's not actually, you know, me being a good author, but it's all of us sharing in these same principles that come from Scripture. And these principles that come from Scripture have a lot to do with us recognizing that the Lord is in control. It gets frustrating when you can't run the control or you don't have a handle on the control. And there needs to be this thing called trust between us and the Lord. And so we kind of lack in that, I think, from time to time. And a lot of books that are written are really, hopefully, geared towards encouraging us to operate in that trust. If the Lord didn't have your best interest in mind, it's not an issue whether you would live forever or not. You wouldn't exist. That's a little bit bigger than, you know, well, I could live for 80, 90 years. You wouldn't exist at all if he didn't care. That's pretty solid. And Scripture is pretty clear in Acts 15, 16, and 17 how every breath that we take, every heartbeat, and every breath comes from God. So sitting there thinking, well, he never does anything for me, you couldn't even have formed that sentence if he didn't do something for you. So it's like, okay, we got to look at this a little different. This particular teaching, this particular encouragement is a little tougher, I'm not going to lie. It's called Not Without His Word You Don't. You can already tell that's not going to be polite. You know, there's so many polite ways you can say this. Like, well, not without his word you don't. You know, you can say it like that. That doesn't really come off like it's right. But, you know, not without his word you don't. I mean, that's how it really comes off. That's probably correct. Just saying that's how it's going to go. So let's dive into that just for a wee bit so that we can maybe get a handle on that. First Samuel 15, 25 through 26. 1 Samuel 15, 25 through 26 says this, "Now therefore, please forgive my sin and return with me so I can worship the Lord." This is Saul saying this to Samuel. Samuel replied to Saul, "I will not return with you because you rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." Deep breath, people. "Now, therefore, please forgive me my sin and return with me so I can worship the Lord." Samuel replied, "I will not return with you because you rejected the word of the Lord." In this situation, this had to do with the obedience situation we were just talking about. These are actually the next two verses after that devotional diamond of the day called to obey. These are the next two verses in the sequence in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel trying to communicate to Saul, you know, you've done something that's really wrong. You should have just obeyed God. You should have just done what he said. It makes things a lot easier. And, you know, this whole ceremonial attitude and you're trying to sacrifice these animals to God, it's kind of fake. This whole thing is self-justification. It's not really working. The Lord knows it's not working, and it's not going to work out for you, and the kingdom's going to be taken from you. And then Saul is trying to save face in front of the people. Because here's Samuel yelling at Saul. They're not in a box somewhere where nobody sees them. That's the king, and that's the prophet. And they're in the center, and people are looking at what's going on. And so Samuel is kind of laying it on Saul. Saul's trying to save face. He goes, "Well, you know, can you return with me? You know, just return with me. Forgive me my sins. Return with me so I can worship the Lord." And then Samuel says, "You rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you." Now, I hear it all the time from people. They'll tell me, "Well, you don't have to really believe the Bible. You don't have to think that, you know, is how, you don't have to do that." Well, Samuel made it clear to Saul, "You rejected the Lord's word. Now the Lord has rejected you." And you think, well, I mean, does that really apply? 10 times more than you may even think. The first logical sequence we should be able to pull out of this is you can't be a Christian without knowing Christ. People that claim to be a Christian will, and I have heard this argument made on television. A person actually tried to claim to be a Christian, not by connecting to Jesus, but by doing things like Mother Teresa did. Okay, so if you back that up, Mother Teresa did the things that she did because of Jesus. But in a person's mind, they think, I don't got to be like Jesus. I don't have to connect to Jesus. It's like, if you want to be a Christian, you can't do that without knowing Christ. And you can't know Jesus Christ apart from the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Bible contains the Gospels and the Word of God. And you can't do that. And Jesus is called the Word of God. And in the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1. So it's like, there's no way to get around this. Can you really be a Christian without following the Bible? Not really. Now, when you say, well, is that true for everybody if a person doesn't have a Bible? I trust God knows exactly what he's doing. He's got the written word on people's hearts and minds. He knows how to communicate. But I'm talking about people that reject the Bible. That's different. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 4 says this, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing." Watch this. The scripture says, if anyone supports or promotes a different doctrine, which is a different truth, a different gospel, a different type of Bible, if anybody does that and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Question, where are the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ found? Where do you find them? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if a person rejects the gospel, they reject the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are conceited, they understand nothing, and they're not even close to being a Christian. Period. And if they do not agree with the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which conforms to godliness, which is found through Acts through Revelation, if you disagree with the gospel and you disagree with the remainder of New Testament and you are a person that rejects the word of God and you believe that God can create but he can't write a book, your logic is faulty, and Scripture says you are conceited and you understand nothing. And people get all upset. Well, no, that can't be true. Man wrote the Bible. Okay, so here's what you got. You got God who spoke the universe into existence, used his mouth, so to speak, and spoke into existence matter where there was no matter, but that same God, according to you, can't preserve a book? Well, let's see. He can keep all the planets spinning in the right direction. He can keep all the universe functioning in the right way. He can keep every moon going in the right exact angle with the exact rotation at all times and always in all elements, but the dude can't write a book. Wait, he can raise the dead, but he can't write a book? That's the argument? Wow. That's weak. Let's understand. It's not without his word. Samuel said to Saul, "You rejected the Lord's word, the Lord's rejected you." I think, well, how do you know, Dave, that the word of God is, you know, is the word of God? It's a great question. I mean, that's a question people should be asking. And my biggest challenge to you, I'm going to blow you away. I'm not even going to give you the theological answer. You know, I can say 10 things right now that all be great and theological. If you're a person that doesn't know, here's the challenge. Ready? Take that book, go into a closet, lift it up to the Lord, and say, "Show me." I challenge you. I dare you. I dare you to take God's word to him and ask him to reveal it. And then open it up and see what he has to say. People are thinking, "Well, you can't tell people to do that." I just did. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie. Let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at ExcaliburRoofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn!
Golly, Uncle Bob. If you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. Years ago, when my children were young, my son Mark told my youngest child, Melinda, to do something for him. She said, "You're not my boss." Mark said, "Dad is the boss of Mom. Mom is the boss of Matt. Matt's the boss of Marcy. Marcy's the boss of me, and I'm the boss of you." So Melinda obeyed. Well, after that, Melinda decided she was the boss of the dog, and the dog was the boss of nobody. Well, the point is, no one wants to be on the bottom rung of the ladder, do they? Because people hold certain positions in life, they're tempted to use it to their advantage and oppress others with an exaggerated sense of their own importance. Well, it's my prayer that you'll use your position, manifest your humility, and in so doing, to give all the glory to God. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
Thank you.
Maranatha Chapel is having a special celebration for your enjoyment, and it's free. That's right. On Sunday, December 11th at 6 p.m., Maranatha Chapel is presenting our special guest speaker, Will Graham, grandson of the beloved evangelist Billy Graham, who will be bringing a special message proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, Dennis Agajinian will be lifting up honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ through a special night of Christmas songs of praise and worship. Here's the best part. You and your family and friends can attend for free. Maranatha Chapel is located at 10752 Coastwood Road in San Diego. For more information, call 858-613-7800. That's 858-613-7800. Or go to maranathachapel.org. No child care is provided. The doors open at 5:30. Come December 11th and join us in the worship and special songs and hear the proclamation of the gospel by William Franklin Graham IV. Mark your calendars. It's going to be extraordinary. We'll see you there.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I hope everybody's doing good. I hope you're standing strong, standing firm in the Lord. We've got a lot of cool things coming up as the year tends to wind down a wee bit. You should not take your eyes off the prize at any point. And so it is an amazing element how believers who really do believe in spiritual warfare just think, well, you know, it's Christmas time or it's New Year's time and Satan's going to take a break. I don't think Satan's like going on a two-week holiday. Y'all have fun now. Bye. I'm pretty sure it doesn't work that way.
Little known fact, Satan vacations in New Mexico.
Wait, right, say that. That's hilarious. Tugboat Todd, he's just starting to feel his oats, folks. But he's got the greatest sound of any producer we've heard yet. People walk by and just look at him now. He's becoming a whole nother person right before our eyes. We're going to do straight talk. This is our fourth straight talk in a row. Have you noticed that? Wow. All right, let's play straight talk and then I'll get right to it. Go.
Give me some straight talk, and a whole bunch of sugar, please. Straight talk, sounds plenty sweet to me.
That's right, straight talk. Here we go. So this is coming out of my fourth one in a row that we've kind of done this with, but this is a book quote, part of the book, right? So we did little bits and pieces here. This is later on in the book, that second half, little tougher stuff. This has to do with Mary when she saw Jesus after the resurrection. If those who are unaware of that portion, it's when Mary thought that Jesus was the gardener. So this is the theme that I picked up on. Mary thought that Jesus was the gardener. Wait, I just told you that part, right? And how close is this to us? We see Jesus, but don't recognize Jesus and assume he is someone else. We ask, do you have any clues, any solutions, any answers? And we wonder if there is a greater truth that we have missed. There sure is. And it's the same answer for each one of us. Uh-oh. Everything we go through, God uses to help mold us to be more like Jesus. That is the answer to every question. What do you think of that? That is so bold to say it that way. Probably a little too arrogant, so for that I apologize. But listen, everything we go through, God uses to help us, to mold us to be more like Jesus. Everything. And that pretty much is the answer to every question that you're going to have in God. He makes us reflect Jesus Christ more and more. You're thinking that trial, that person, the loss of that relationship, the gain of that relationship, that promotion, that demotion, that firing, that hiring, that starting, that stopping, that living, that dying. Just add anything to that list. It doesn't even matter what it is. You're going to find out in some capacity there is some attachment between that, you, Jesus, and the plan. And that's the thing to pick up on. The rest of that portion says, the gardener is nobody important until he reveals himself. It is the Lord. In truth, we just discovered that we know him, he knows us, and everything we have encountered has his blood connected to it. You want to hear a great line to live by? We were pained and troubled, but not because God hates us. It's because he's teaching us to be like Jesus. So we go through pain and trouble, not because God's mad, not because he hates us, but he's helping us reflect Jesus Christ more and more every step of the way. If you can think of your life as a portrait or a masterpiece, you would recognize, like a masterpiece, I mean like a, you know, like a famous painting, a Van Gogh type of masterpiece. You would recognize that every stroke, every color, every texture has a point to it. And if that's true for humanity, how much more true is that for divinity? If it's true when we do something, how much more true is that when God does something? Everything in your life. Now, this is not the theological time to talk about predestination or free will. This is the time to recognize there is one master, we are his canvas, and he is painting. And you might not understand the color or the stroke or the direction or the brush. You might not understand the background or the outline or any of the such. But the painter knows. And you're the canvas. That's what you want to be. You want to be just appreciative that you're in the painting system, that you're under the tutelage of the master, that you're being painted upon, that you're the portrait. Have you ever seen the purple and the red and the yellow in the sunset looking towards the ocean here in California? Have you ever seen that? Everybody comes up with all these different things, right? Well, that's the ionization. That's this. That's that. Isn't God just a fantastic artist? You know, they had colorful sunsets 5,000 years ago before they had all the stuff they're crying about. He's a fantastic artist. You're his art. Let him paint. He's really good at it. Yeah. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California, taking a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
More local, national, and heaven.
Cameron John here for your San Diego Middays After Spoons. Welcome to AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Did you know that if you stay up late enough, if you like staying up late, or if you're a night owl, whatever it might be, and you wait till 11 p.m., you can hear a one-hour replay of the David Spoon Experience. I bet you didn't know that. Did you also know that if you visit kprz.com and click on the link that says podcast, you can listen to all of the previous broadcasts done by David Spoon? I bet you didn't know that either. I only say it every single time after the David Spoon Experience, but sometimes people need things repeating. And speaking of repeating, I always say the word on investing with Pastor David Mitchell is on the way just after some SRN news, and it's coming up on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, and that is an absolutely true statement.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
Democrats think they always have a right to govern, and if they lose an election, it's never their fault. That attitude was on display last week at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway got into a verbal altercation with Hillary Clinton communication director Jennifer Palmieri. Palmieri accused Conway and the Trump campaign of using racist tactics to win the blue-collar white votes in states like Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. She never explained how Trump won 7% more of the black vote than did Mitt Romney 4 years ago if the campaign was racist. Real racism is taking black people for granted and allowing the children of the poor among them to fester in failing public schools while the elites send their kids to private schools. The left never considers their ideas wrong, but the public has. Look at the map. This was a change election, and from all I can tell so far, Donald Trump is going to change things big time. The Democrats can cry racism all they want, but their time is up. They lost. Re-electing Nancy Pelosi House Minority Leader shows they still don't get it. I'm Cal Thomas in Washington.
For a free copy of today's commentary and other information, visit calthomas.com or send a written request mentioning the date and subject to Values Through Media, Post Office Box 7065, Arlington, Virginia, 22207. Tax-deductible gifts support these commentaries and are appreciated. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
Hi, this is Brian Newberry, pastor of Calvary Chapel San Diego. We would like to invite you out for a special evening, Coming Home for Christmas, with Dennis Agajanian. December 21st, 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel San Diego. That's Coming Home for Christmas with Dennis Agajanian, December 21st at 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel San Diego. For more information, calvarysandiego.com.
After a visit to America, Edward, the British Duke of Windsor, remarked that what impressed him the most about America was the way parents obey their children. Well, we don't know what motivated the Duke's observation, but I wonder if he was thinking of the opposite standard found in Ephesians 6:1, where we read, "Children, obey your parents." We live in an age of tolerance where everyone lives in fear of offending everyone else. Some parents even fear taking a leadership role in their children's lives for fear of offending them. But God expects parents to lead and love their children into adulthood, which includes obeying. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's plan for child rearing on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Here's today's market update with KPRZ financial editor, certified financial planner Marty Schneider, the retirement professional.